Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We've got Thursday night football to preview. Washington Commanders and Chicago Bears, of course, a Major League Baseball division series as well. Great to be back with you here on the show. Davis, a fun night, I thought, of baseball last night. Really interesting games and interesting outcomes as San Diego was a winner. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves we talked about yesterday is a winner. And then, naturally, we're getting ready for another week in fantasy football. A lot of big decisions to make in terms of people picking up and dropping. This is the most in both of my leagues this week, by the way, that I've seen transactions just constantly getting notifications. So I'm guessing our preparation is definitely worth the time this week. That's for sure.
Yeah, heading into the first bye week, teams are, there are a lot of fantasy starters missing this week. We also have backfield injuries with multiple teams. We're still getting updates on these backfield injuries, trying to figure out the Rubik's Cube of what's going on in the New England Patriots backfield. And, unfortunately, not exactly the amuse-bouche that we would have wanted for week 6 of the NFL, given that our first game this week is the Washington Commanders with an injured Carson Wentz and the Chicago Bears, who have thrown the fewest amount of passes through 5 weeks since any team since the 1982 New England Patriots, apparently somehow threw fewer passes than the Chicago Bears through 5 weeks of this NFL season.
What year was that?
1982. Now, although gotta go back 40 years for the last
time.
I'm
alive for that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the quarterback of that team was Steve Grogan. That's just a guess, though. You'll have to look that up and tell me if I'm accurate on that. You do that. Let me read the headlines here. All right. Atlanta yesterday, 4 hits, but big pitching performance from Kyle Wright. They end up tying the series. Now they go to Philadelphia. How about the Padres and Manny Machado taking game 2 and evening up that series at 1 as they continue their series in San Diego? Zion Williamson, oh no, here we go. Day to day after tweaking his ankle. Hopefully he's okay, but that has not been the case for 2 years. And Tua Tagovailoa back on the field yesterday, so good sign for him. Maybe he can come back sooner than later. He was ruled out for Sunday. Skylar Thompson will start, although the reporters in Miami seem to think that today there is a chance that Teddy Bridgewater will be out of the concussion protocol and could practice tomorrow. And if he does, that could certainly change everything. But again, this is just like some of the speculation going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got a lot of interesting stuff going on. The Teddy thing is very bizarre, because obviously we are always on the side of player safety. But, there have been multiple reports that Teddy was never even in the concussion protocol. The independent neurologist treated him. So I don't know. I mean, it does feel like a very bizarre situation. A little news update here, though. You were right. It was, in fact, Mr. Steve Grogan, who started 6 games for that Patriots team, and then some fella I've never heard of by the name of Matt Kavanaugh started the other games. I believe that was a strike-shortened season. I want to say 1982 was one of the seasons. I think they only played 12 games that year. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at with the Chicago Bears, going all the way back to the strike-shortened 1982 season to last see an offense this ineffective.
Since we're doing history, we may as well go further. If I'm not mistaken, Davis, at least 1, maybe 2 games were played in the NFL that season by players not in the NFL. I'm fairly certain that there were games played by what was called scabs. They basically crossed the picket line.
I think this Kavanaugh guy, I mean, that's where we're at with the Chicago Bears. So this Kavanaugh guy was, in fact, you know, crossing the picket line. They did play two. I'm looking at it right now. They did play two games, yeah. And then they all reconvened back in week 11 to get the rest of the NFL season done. So Justin Fields playing about as well as a quarterback could to cross the picket line to get his chance in the NFL. That is, you know, that is where we're at. But man, and Wentz has this bicep strain. I mean, it is going to be, I think we are in the absolute mud for this game tonight. I would love to be proved wrong. You know, would love to see Terry McLaurin running down the field, you know, Darnell Mooney doing his thing, but I think we're going to get a lot of David Montgomery and a lot of Brian Robinson.
Yeah, what's interesting is that we've seen a couple of totals right around this number, 37.5, 37. And I was thinking that this sort of felt honestly a little too high. Like, I'm surprised that this didn't hit 35 or 34. I guess you just can't make a total that low, Davis, in the NFL, because again, you also have the pick six factor involved. Wentz fumbles a ton, you know? So I guess that's why you can't go lower than that.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, to be honest, like, defensive turnovers are bad. You know, a lot of turnovers are bad for unders because it gets teams so close to the end zone. And, I mean, look, Fields and Wentz both have, you know, a fumble six, a pick six in them. You get one of those, then the total, you know, the in-game total is going to rise. I think probably what's going to happen with Carson Wentz, this is such a bummer, but, you know, clearly he's pretty injured. And what's going to happen, but they can't bench him this week because of what Ron Riviera said. You know, because of like, what's the problem with our team, the quarterback? So he's going to go out, he's going to play hurt, he's going to stink. Then, you know, in next week, 2 weeks from now, he's going to go on the IR and they're going to play Sam Howell. That's what's going to end up happening here.
I'd love to see. I thought Sam Howell was pretty good in college, but again, you know, I have no idea where he's at in his development with Washington. You know, certainly disastrous offensive season for them and for Chicago. And we get both of them tonight. I mean, and by the way, it can't be any worse than last week. Are you kidding me? 12-9? Nah, it can't be that. Can it be that? Yeah, I don't think so. All right, practice reports are in from Wednesday. We're going to go through some of the potential injuries, new players popping up. This week, again, some players getting a day off simply and just not practicing, and others are hurt. So we'll talk about that coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, David Snack. We're back in just a few minutes after these messages. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When we last left you yesterday, we had no practice report information from Wednesday. That's usually a crucial day. And then obviously today we're going to get more of a definitive nature as to whether or not players, Davis, just got a day off or, you know, actually have a chance of missing this weekend's games. Of course, if you're tuning in for a preview of the Thursday night game, we're going to have that coming up next. But let's dive in here, Davis, and start with a team that does appear to be truly banged up, and that is the New Orleans Saints. Now, naturally, Jameis Winston has been unable to play the last couple of weeks. It's been Andy Dalton, some mixed results, I would say, for the most part, but he was limited in practice yesterday. Chris Olave did not practice at all. Neither did Michael Thomas. Neither did Jarvis Landry. So naturally, what are your thoughts on the Saints as we head into the weekend?
Well, I mean, they stink, right? They are not a very fun team to watch. And they're definitely less fun to watch when Andy Dalton is playing quarterback. You know, at least Jameis will give us the prayer yards for Chris Olave. We were talking about Teddy a little bit in the introduction segment to the show. I would imagine we are going to see a similar thing happen with Chris Olave where, you know, I mean, we saw it with Isaiah McKenzie last week. He was back in practice on Friday, but these guys who get these head injuries are just very unlikely to play the next week. Michael Thomas did not play last week. Jarvis Landry did not play last week, and it seems like they are also trending towards not playing. You know, a lot of the times when a guy misses on Sunday, if they get a DNP the following Wednesday, that tends to mean it's more than just a day-to-day injury. It tends to mean that it's a situation where it is a real injury and it's going to be pretty close to them playing. Gabe Davis, week two, for example. Gabe Davis doesn't play in week two, comes back, limited practice on Wednesday, ends up playing. So that's a trend that I kind of like to follow, which means the Saints are going to be super thin at wide receiver. You know, we're going to have Marquez Callaway, Traquan Smith in there. But Taysom Hill, in these games where they don't have any offensive weapons active, I think we're going to see a lot of him. I saw Taysom Hill in some of my main events last night go for some insane bids. It's, you know, it's tight end premium, but it is $1,000 of bidding. And in one of my leagues, he went for $667 out of $1,000, like just some insane bids on Mr. Hill. But I mean, I get it. You know, a lot of teams are missing Darren Waller this week. They need a tight end. We were one of the teams missing Darren Waller. We tried to get Taysom Hill, but I'm expecting a lot of Kamara and a lot of Taysom this week for the Saints.
Yeah, I think so. All right, now let's move over to, I think, a little bit of a different situation. I know that this caught a lot of people by surprise late yesterday, that the Rams, it appeared, gave Cooper Kupp a day off. Now, he did leave the game, you know, his last game for a couple of plays and then came back in. I think there was something lower leg going on with him. He just simply did not practice yesterday. Same with Tyler Higbee. And then, naturally, the biggest name of all really doesn't affect fantasy unless it's IDP, is Aaron Donald. But, I mean, I guess I just have to, like, work my way through understanding that the Rams, Davis, at this stage of where they are, very veteran team coming off a Super Bowl with a lot of guys who are not 26 years old anymore. And so I'm wondering if you think that this is just simply a maintenance day or this is something to worry about this week.
Yeah, I mean, they are 10.5-point favorites at home to the Carolina Panthers this week. I would guess, specifically because Kupp and Donald are the two names on this list. Like, you know, if we tossed in a Ben Skoronek or something on this list, maybe I'd go, okay, well, we have some cluster injury situations going on. But because this is basically their three most important players, other than Matt Stafford, all getting the Wednesday DNP, I would guess that this is mostly a veteran rest day. I mean, however, if Cooper Kupp does not play, I mean, what would the Rams offense even look like without Cooper Kupp? What would they even do? I mean, they can't run the ball. Allen Robinson at this point, honestly, probably does deserve to be cut by the Rams. They just can't really afford to do it. But like, playing Allen Robinson is killing them. Like Van Jefferson right now, if his knee was healthy, would be better for them than Allen Robinson, because at least Jefferson can stretch the field. I mean, it's been horrible, but, and they don't even really have a backup tight end either if Higbee were to not play. I mean, they have Kendall Blanton, and I think Bryson Hopkins is injured. Like, they are basically like a Cooper Kupp ankle turn away from being Bears level on offense, I think.
Yeah, you know, Skoronek's look pretty good, man. I don't know. I think that guy has a future either with the Rams or someone else. I mean, I don't know. Seems like he catches everything that's thrown his way. So we'll see in the future for sure. All right, now let's close it out here, Davis. And then naturally, when it comes to the running back situation, this is what everyone is clamoring for. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. So I did make the move last night. I was sort of stunned to see that guy Deion Jackson on the waiver wire. So I just cut Darrell Williams and I picked up Deion Jackson. And then lo and behold, Jonathan Taylor gets another DNP yesterday. And we know Nyheim Hines is limited. So does Taylor fall into that category for you where he didn't play last week? He gets a DNP this week. And the division, I mean, like, honestly, Davis, the Colts could probably lose two more games in a row and still feel like they have a shot to win this thing.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is exactly what I'm talking about in the context of he missed a game. Not remember, this was not a Sunday game either. He missed a game 10 days ago. He missed a game on Thursday, right? By the time they get to kickoff. So if he was not able to even get a limited practice in on this Wednesday, I don't really see how he is going to come back from this ankle injury. And again, like we just said with the head injuries, Chris Olave, Isaiah McKenzie last week, like, the NFL is one, they change the concussion, you know, public perception battle. Like, people don't, at some degree we get it. Like, these guys are gladiators who are putting their, you know, bodies and lives on the line for our entertainment. But no one wants to watch Tua get stretchered off. No one wants to watch 90 right. Minds get up and stuff like that. That is a worse viewing product. And everyone, and especially because the Colts game was in primetime, everyone who's watching the NFL is watching Nyheim Hines get that touch and then stumble off the field. I think he's not going to go either. So I do think the Deion Jackson ad was pretty solid, because I would anticipate he is going to play ahead of Phillip Lindsay this upcoming week. I think they also grabbed someone off of the practice squad whose name is escaping me right now. But I would imagine that Deion Jackson probably is going to be the lead rusher. And I would be betting against Jonathan Taylor playing this week, I think.
For sure. You know, one thing that I wanted to cover, we didn't touch much yesterday with Penny out. Obviously, we're assuming that most leagues have Kenneth Walker owned at 100%. But we're playing the long game here, Davis. And it, has there ever been a long game scenario with another running back on Seattle? Like, I look at their depth chart, I see like six or seven guys and no clarity there. Like, is it Dallas? Is it Homer? Is there somebody else?
Well, Travis Homer is on the IR, so I would imagine that it is probably going to be DJ Dallas. They did claim on the waivers Tony Jones Jr., who got very similar to Latavius Murray, actually got plucked off of the New Orleans Saints practice squad the same way that the Broncos did. And apparently multiple teams put in claims on Tony Jones Jr. Apparently the Cardinals really wanted to get Tony Jones Jr. because of all of their running back injuries, and the Seahawks were the team that claimed him. But Dallas has actually started for the Seahawks before. He started in week 8 of 2020, played 79% of the snaps, 18 carries, 41 yards, 5 targets, 5 receptions, scored 2 touchdowns in that game. Now, obviously, that was a different version of the team, but same deal. Rashad Penny was out in that game, and Travis Homer was actually in on that game. So there you go. That's Pete Carroll telling us, I think, that were he to lose Kenneth Walker, which this year it's like no running back is safe this year. I actually bid on DJ Dallas in a bunch of leagues last night. I think he'll probably play a little bit more this week than people are anticipating. I don't think they're going to give 80% of the snaps to Walker.
All right. Well, we will see. Of course, another week in the NFL gets underway tonight. And coming up next here on the show, we will preview that. Sean Green is going to join us, and we'll go over the DFS slate, also talk some fantasy football for the upcoming week. As a reminder, you can catch our show every day, Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, getting you ready for fantasy football. And naturally, tomorrow on the show, we'll bring in Jim Sanis. We'll go over the full DFS slate this weekend. And then I'll be back with you guys later today at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So stay on the grid with us. Our daily fantasy look at what to do tonight is coming up next between, the Washington Commanders and Chicago Bears. Scintillating stuff. We'll preview it for you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. For those of you getting ready for the slate tonight in Daily Fantasy, get out your DraftKings app. We're going to help you set a lineup tonight. To help us do it is Sean Green, joins us every Thursday here on the show. Sean, great to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Thursday night. Hopefully we get a touchdown this game.
We did not last week, as sad as it would seem. I cannot imagine this going any worse. All right, so let's take a look at the pricing. We'll get started naturally with the top price guys. We'll work our way down, see which way we're going to go. We got a report from ESPN saying maybe Carson Wentz is not 100% healthy. I don't see a huge point spread change here, so I don't know what to make of this, but he's priced at $15,900, more or less a pick'em game, some spots Washington minus one. David Montgomery coming off a solid week. He is 15-6. And then we have Justin Fields at 15. Terry McLaurin's at a quiet year. He's 13-5. Antonio Gibson, 12-9. Curtis Samuel, 12-3. And Sean, normally when we look at options like these, we throw up a little bit and we move on. But we just have no choice tonight. We got to set a lineup tonight. So how do you sort of do it?
Yeah, got to play primetime games. I really like Justin Fields here because of his rushing upside. I think that's a good play. I'm staying away from Commander Carson there. I think actually, a couple interesting plays farther down the slate are both teams' defenses. I think are certainly interesting in showdown lineups because of the fact that both Carson Wentz and Justin Fields have very high turnover worthy throws. As far as the Commanders' pass catchers, I think you got to go Curtis Samuel there. I would stay away from Antonio Gibson. I mean, they made it pretty clear that they want Brian Robinson to be the guy. Had 9 carries in spite of not playing and coming off a gunshot wound. Crazy story, but it does seem like they want him to be the bell cow, or at least get the majority of the running there, the snaps. I also think if you look a little bit farther down, Jonathan Bates, the tight end for Washington, I think is pretty interesting. He's only 4,500 on DraftKings. Logan Thomas is out. Bates got a couple looks last week, and Wentz does like to throw to the tight end. So I like Fields for the Bears, Bates, maybe even play some of the defenses. We've also seen a bunch of field goals kicked in these primetime games where, you know, they keep going under. So I think even the kickers are kind of interesting. But I would stay away from Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. They don't seem to have a huge role in the offense, or at least not coming up this week.
Yeah, McLaurin has been out-targeted by Curtis Samuel in all five games that the Washington Commanders have played this year. Now, Terry is playing a ton. Really, the big game theory note, though, is that everyone is going to be playing this like a low-scoring game. Bayless Jones played only six snaps last week but did catch a touchdown. It was actually the best passing game that Fields has had this season last week against Minnesota. And you know, all when I'm playing these contests, all I care about is getting paid when I'm right. I'm not going to be right very often on these showdown slates, right? I'm gonna lose. You know, what are there 17 times three with the primetime game? I mean, I'm gonna lose 80 slates a year doing these. But as long as that 81st slate includes a first place, that's all I really care about. So I do actually agree that McLaurin is one of my least favorite players in fantasy. But he is going to be on the field for every single snap tonight. Dyami Brown, who caught the two long touchdowns last week, is coming in banged up as well. He only played 18 snaps last week. So I'm going to probably play McLaurin as my most owned captain, you know, in the MVP slot on DraftKings. And I love the John Bates call. Played 59% of the snaps last week, three targets. He's pretty likely to make it into the optimals, I think.
All right, so there you go. Set your lineup tonight over on DraftKings with some of those options from Sean and Davis. All right, now let's get into some underperforming fantasy players, and we'll start with Kyle Pitts on the Atlanta Falcons, Sean. And naturally, it's been a very underwhelming start for him, but there's a couple of things going on that I think are noteworthy. Number one, the Falcons are playing fantastic. They're 5-0 against the spread. Somehow they're staying in every single game this season, and this is despite basically throwing any passes, having any noteworthy, you know, offensive players, having their best player in Cordarrelle Patterson hurt. You know, I don't know that the Falcons are going to change all that much, Sean. Like, they're playing very competitive football, boring football. What does this mean for Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who drafted Kyle Pitts, I'm trying to unload him, even though his value is obviously bottom of the barrel. He did practice today. I think he's certainly an interesting buy low candidate in Dynasty. You know, Arthur Smith is covering spreads, but I don't know if that helps him keep his job moving forward. And they drafted Kyle Pitts, you would think, because they would want to throw the ball to Kyle Pitts, but we have not seen that at all so far this season. And I honestly don't know if that changes. I mean, Marcus Mariota, 23% of his throws have been off-target throws. So I just don't see them changing quarterbacks. I don't see them changing from their run-heavy scheme and getting Kyle Pitts involved. So I think Kyle Pitts is a really hard guy to play. If you have him on your roster, I'm looking to trade him, even though you're not going to get much. I think in Dynasty he's an interesting buy low, because I do think he's he certainly has tons of potential as a player overall. But, I mean, he's just not doing anything for you, even in a year where tight end is so thin. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to play Kyle Pitts.
He is still second at the position in air yards and second in the position per air yards per target. He drew a 60-yard defensive pass interference in week two. I mean, the one thing I would say is it's very easy to cover giant, you know, 9, 10, 11-point spreads when you play the way the Falcons do. They just play keep away. They don't really care about scoring touchdowns. All they care about is not turning the ball over and, you know, just attempting to get lucky. Like, The Craig is totally right that they have been effective at covering the spread, but no one has ever thought they were going to win these games, right? Like, they're driving with the ball against the Buccaneers, and you're just piling money on the Buccaneers live money line because you know they're going to get to a 3rd-and-2, hand it off to Caleb Huntley, not get the first down, kick the field goal, and that's exactly what happened, right? They kick a field goal down 9 points. It's like. I know guys like Arthur Smith get these jobs in the NFL because they Arthur Smith is the son of an NFL owner. So it's like, you know, it just is kind of one of those things, but I mean, the Falcons stink, and I would assume Arthur Smith getting fired is like pretty bullish for Pitts in the end, because that would I would assume that whoever started taking over the play calling duties would get him the ball.
I got two guys with me here who have not bet on the Falcons this season. I think that is very
not enough,
5-0 against the spread. You guys got beef with the Falcons? My goodness, but best betting team in all of the NFL this year. Anyway, not that the Davis you take is wrong by any means, but. What else can you ask for from an NFL team? Cover every week.
Yeah, I think for fantasy, certainly some.
I would ask them to win games. That's what I would do. I would ask for the Falcons to win.
I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in making money. No, that's not happening. Covering spreads, that's what we do. All right, let's move on to Sean Travis Etienne. And I think the disappointment for me is the number that you see right there, which is the receptions, 11 for 124. And I guess the reason why I would say that, Sean, is I watch every game, but it seems like Etienne's dropped some balls. Like, it seems like he gets targeted and drops some. He's like trying to run before he goes. I thought he'd be fantastic this season. I guess I was wrong, at least early on. You see any hope here?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's coming off his best game of the season. I wasn't super high on Travis Etienne coming into the season just because I thought James Robinson had a potential to get a decent amount of workload and liked what I was hearing from him injury-wise. And it's weird. In the games they've won, James Robinson has touched the ball, like, I think it's over 16 carries. In the games they've lost, he hasn't gotten those 16 carries. It does seem, though, Doug Peterson and the Jags offense want to get him involved more. I thought he did. I thought he, again, coming off his best game of the season. So I think he's a guy, he might be a guy you're looking to trade for if you don't have on your roster, because I think his stock is kind of low, but I could see him trending up. It does seem like they're going out of their way to get him more involved. And you're right, he did struggle with making some catches early on the season, but I think he's trending in the right direction. So I think he's a good buy low candidate.
I think he's I totally agree. I mean, James Robinson, outside of, he's had two 25 plus yard touchdown runs. And outside of those two runs, he's averaging like 2.8 yards per carry, one of the worst success rates in football. Like, and James Robinson, clearly a guy coaches love, right? He's had three different head coaches in Jacksonville. They've all made him the starting running back, right? Every single one. So that definitely shows that, like, he's not a terrible player. But Etienne, and Craig is totally right, he is way worse at catching the football than you would think. It seems like he's always trying to catch it with his body. He's always stumbling once he catches it, which is very bizarre because he was really good at that at Clemson. But you would just, and especially if things start to go south for the Jaguars, like right now they're like, you know, dreaming and hoping that maybe they can win the division. But a couple losses pile up and you're like, what are we doing with James Robinson? Let's figure out if Etienne is even any good. And Etienne actually played more snaps against the Texans than James Robinson did. So I'd probably be buying on him as well.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks again for coming on the show. I know, certainly the Eagles are off to a good start. Got the Phillies going on too. Going to be a busy weekend, I'm sure, for you. Thanks again for coming on.
Appreciate it. Take it easy, guys.
All right. Sean Green with us right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Of course, we got Davis Maddock in the house along with me, and coming up next is time for some Fantasy or Reality, a popular band from, it feels like 10, 20 years ago, going back on tour, and so we're going to have that part of our Fantasy or Reality. We'll also talk some football, some baseball as well. Stay on the grid for that. Also, as a reminder, we're back on the show tomorrow, giving you the full daily fantasy preview with our buddy Jim Sanis from FanDuel and NumberFire. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today after this quick timeout. So stay on the grid. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30%. Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Expert picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. You can follow us on social media on Twitter. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread. Davis and I will have our pick of the week coming tomorrow. We're all knotted up at 4-1 through 5 weeks, so we will have our pick coming tomorrow there as well. And Davis, one of the picks that could potentially be interesting this week, I don't know if you saw this yesterday before we get to fantasy reality. What are your thoughts on having like a third slate on Sunday? If Seattle ends up beating Houston tonight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that means that there's a guaranteed Game 4 in the American League Division Series. And the NFL announced that Seattle's home game this week will be played at 5:30 Eastern time. So, I mean, I don't even understand why they're doing this. I mean, I understand they're very close in proximity and it's the same city and everything, but I mean, the NFL just saying, okay, we'll just move the game. I don't think I've heard this before.
I've never heard that. I absolutely hate that for, you know, how I do things in terms of how we do our Sunday night Sports Grid fantasy football podcast and everything. Like, that's gonna, and also it'll create a really interesting spot for late swapping for DFS contests on FanDuel and DraftKings, because that Seattle Arizona game is going to include a ton of popular players, right? Kyler Murray, Rondale Moore, Hollywood Brown, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker will probably be the most popular player this weekend in DFS. And that's kind of an interesting game theory wrinkle. I think I'm rooting against that. I don't think I want that. That's just going to screw my whole week up, really.
Yeah, it'll be the only game going on before Sunday Night Football. Usually we get a couple, we get that 30-minute break or 40-minute break, and then back on, no break coming this Sunday, if that is the case. So we will see. And then how can you play any of the Arizona running backs going into that game? You're literally not going to know at 4 o'clock Eastern if they're inactive or not. All right, time for some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, along with the NFL, we got college football tonight on, and some people will say thank goodness for this one. But of course, tonight, Washington takes on Chicago. Now, as far as the latest I saw on FanDuel, I saw Commanders still -1. So I don't know how hurt Carson Wentz is, to be honest with you, because if he's really hurt, the Bears should be favored, I think, in this game, unless I'm missing something. But beyond that, we have another college football game tonight between Baylor and West Virginia. Baylor is 3.5-point favorites, I think, tonight over the Mountaineers. Fantasy or reality? Baylor at West Virginia will be the best football game tonight on television. Actually, you have your choice of what to watch between Washington or Chicago for that game as well. By the way, there's also one other game tonight, Davis. Central Florida takes on Temple, and UCF is 23.5-point favorites in that game as well.
You have to go reality. These Thursday night football games in general are pretty bad. The teams don't really get to practice. They don't really get to come up with a specific game plan. I mean, we totally saw that between the Colts and the Broncos. Both of those teams just wanted to get the heck out of there. We saw that, you know, with the play calling in overtime, like the Broncos were like, we're not messing around with this. Like, just please get us on the plane. Like, we do not want to be playing football anymore. And Baylor's pretty good. You know, Baylor is 3-2. They were actually pretty highly rated in the preseason polls. They have, a couple interesting skill position players. Monterey Baldwin, 3 touchdowns, 300 scrimmage yards. I mean, like, you know, they're... Baylor is always kind of fun, and can't profess to know a ton about West Virginia at this point. But there's this is of course going to be a better football game. Like, it'll just be more wide open. There'll be more scoring. It'll just be a more entertaining spectacle.
Yeah, you know, I guess this is a reality. I'm trying to make a case for you know, Chicago. And look, the thing for me is I have David Montgomery in an important league. So, you know, it's like, okay, like that's part of the equation for me of wanting to watch that game. I have nothing on Washington as far as I know. You know, and then the other part, which is interesting, is that my nephew goes to Central Florida. This is his first experience, Davis, in, you know, experiencing like the college football scene. They played last Wednesday night. They play tonight against Temple. I'm pretty sure, I'm not positive about this, but I think Kurt Warner, remember Kurt Warner in the NFL? I believe his son is the quarterback at Temple. Now, UCF is a huge favorite tonight. I believe they're like 3 touchdown favorites. So the most points scored in any of the games tonight could end up being that Central Florida Temple game, but also with the caveat that Temple scored 3 points last week against Memphis. So I'm not really sure that that would be the case. I will stick with you here on this one. And I definitely will go reality, no doubt. All right. More fantasy reality for you. Let's talk some Major League Baseball. Now, naturally, Davis, what we're seeing in, I'm sorry, I got to lean forward here because I can't see my rundown. There we go. Sorry about that. Okay. Today we got 2 games in Major League Baseball. The Cleveland Guardians. And the Cleveland Guardians today are up against it. They're taking on the New York Yankees. I would say that this is a must-win game for them. Also, the Seattle Mariners lost in walk-off fashion. This is probably a must-win game for them. But they do have really good starting pitching on the mound, I would say, especially in the form of Luis Castillo going for Seattle. Fantasy or, and you know, Bieber too. Fantasy or reality, Cleveland and Seattle both have the starting pitching advantage today.
That is a fantasy for me. I am one of the leaders of the Shane Bieber fan club as it pertains to the Cleveland Guardians. He was really strong this year, even though he basically forgot how to strike guys out. I mean, for his career, he'd been striking out, you know, 12 guys per 9 innings or whatever. He'd had a K rate of 40%, 33%, 35%. Over full seasons in his career, dipped all the way down to 25% this season, below a strikeout per inning. But it didn't matter. Had the second best ERA of his career, best ERA of his career if you don't count the 60-game COVID season. Generated a ton of ground balls, stranded a bunch of runners, did not walk anyone. I mean, that's really his strength, is he's got very good control, just absolutely does not walk anyone. I think he is better than Nestor Cortez, but the Mariners do have the pitching advantage, which is funny because Castillo was so bad last year. You know, remember, he was one of those guys where we were like, what is going on with this guy? Why is he broken? He's been phenomenal, exciting, and, you know, really cool. I know I was kind of just nagging the Mariners a little bit about messing up my Sunday schedule, but I mean, obviously we are excited to see the team with the longest postseason drought in North American professional sports. I mean, it would be cool to see them win this series. And no one likes the Astros, right? I mean, we all like Jordan Alvarez, but no one likes the Astros. So we're all rooting for the Mariners. But I got fantasy. I think that Bieber is better than Nestor Cortez.
Yeah, you know, I think Cleveland's going to win today. So I think Cleveland reality has the advantage. I think, Framber Valdez had more quality starts, if I'm not mistaken, than anybody else, and it wasn't even close in Major League Baseball. I don't think Seattle's going to win the series. Can they win a game? Yeah, I mean, look what did the Padres show us last night? It's one game. Anything can happen in baseball. But in a 5-game series, I don't see it. I'm still hanging on to Cleveland here, and I'm thinking that they got a shot here. And that's no disrespect to Nestor Cortez. He's had a really good year. The other thing that potentially could happen is a rainout, and we have to keep an eye on that as well, because if that happens, that puts Cleveland really behind the eight ball here, because they're hoping, obviously, to have Bieber available for the final game of the season if they can. So I have fantasy. Framber Valdez is fantastic. Houston's really good, and I don't think Castillo gives them an advantage at all in Houston. I don't. So I got fantasy here as well. All right, we got the news yesterday. This is big news for a lot of people, my understanding as well. And so this is something that, just, you know, full transparency, Brett was smart enough to put in there. He didn't even put me in the equation because he knows I'm not going to this. But Davis is the question. So, fantasy or reality, Davis will go see Blink-182 in concert. And here is like sort of my research here. Davis and I now have been doing the show for almost 2 years, I believe. And I'm trying to think in my mind's eye if he's ever mentioned this group, Blink-182, if he's ever mentioned going to a concert or liking their music. And I don't remember hearing about them. And I think I would have. I mean, I don't pay attention to the show ever. No, I'm just kidding. I listen all the time. I've never heard him name. I have not heard him say this group, this name. I got fantasy. Davis is not going to see Blink 182 in concert. I have not heard him mention them before. Fantasy.
I mean, so most of that is correct. I mean, am I the world's biggest Blink 182 fan? Of course not. But every person who is my age, every person who is like 28 to 35 is going to have really specific Blink 182 memories because they were so I mean, they were basically the biggest band when I was like, I want to say like 12 to 15. I don't really think there was it like, you know, very like mid 2000s. They were so, so big. So I, again, not the biggest fan in the world, but yeah, I got to see this. I am going to go. I was actually looking at the tour dates. So they are in Chicago to start the tour. They're not coming to St. Louis. Not really sure why, or Kansas City, but they are going to be in Chicago. And I am going to, I think, cajole my wife into going and, you know, reliving some high school memories for each of us. They, and actually a Blink 182 song was the last song, the final, you know, dance floor song played at my wedding. What was it? Almost 2 months ago now. So, yeah, gotta go see it. I mean, and it's totally, you know, this is like, I have now transitioned into being like a boomer who has nostalgic things come back for me, right? And like, this is perfect. You know, this is like a bunch of, you know, young parents in their 30s type stuff. Their date night out is going to be going to go see these Blink 182. And they're going to, Craig, they are going to clean up on this tour. I mean, these are going to be sold out shows. Like, this is going to be a financial windfall for these guys.
You don't even want to know what concert I'm going to tomorrow night. You wouldn't even believe it. I honestly don't even know all the groups. My wife booked this one. It's like an 80s, 90s, you know, dance tour. I mean, I agreed to do that. First of all, I did not agree to it, but I got forced into it. And tomorrow night is I'm going to be going to this concert. I don't even know who's there. I think Rob Bass is one of them. I'm not even sure. But regardless, that's my Friday night as well. Real quick, Davis, one note that I wanted to bring to you, like as far as this changing of the slate thing, if Seattle wins tonight or tomorrow, that would be the first time I can recall in a long time there would be two games in that late window at 4 o'clock Eastern. So red zone basically irrelevant. You just would have. You probably would have, I'm guessing, maybe both games on TV in your area. I don't know why the NFL is doing this.
Yeah, I mean, they're truly, it is the, I mean, this is one of my biggest pet peeves in life is when the late game sucks on red zone when we're down to three games. I mean, even three games is not enough. It should be five, right? It should be five games in the afternoon window always. And it's never set up that way. And it is beyond, I mean, just figure it out, right? I mean, come on, like, the NFL is so good at TV and figuring it out. They've given us all these products, and they can't figure out how to get the late game, early game split correct on Sundays.
Yeah, don't get it. I mean, you would think that and now listen, they got the game right this week, though, Davis. What do you think about it? Buffalo, KC, they moved that game to the late game. I guess that's all that matters really going into this week. All right, we'll be right back with more fantasy sports today after these quick messages. We've got, of course, the Sports Grid 60. And then the early line coming up at the top of the hour. So stay on the grid. We're back in just a couple of minutes after these messages. Don't go away. Break,
break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Before we leave you for today and get you off ready for the baseball games and the NFL and college football games tonight, hockey too. Want to mention hockey too? Here's Davis Matic with today's Sports Grid 60.
This is probably the most helpful advice that I can possibly give at this stage of the fantasy football season. You're going to have to make some tough cuts this week. I know I've had to make some tough cuts. And, you know, guys like Allen Robinson, guys like Darren Waller, hurt, unproductive, Kyle Pitts, we just talked about with our friend Sean Green from Fantasy Pros. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell, guys we really liked coming into the season, you know, high upside handcuffs. You got to just do it. The most important thing is getting points in your lineup for the week that you are about to be playing in. So if you got to make some tough cuts, you got to make some tough cuts. I mean, and you know, look at it on the positive. You cut a player who might be decent. At least your buddies are going to be forced to spend a bunch of their fab budget on a guy who is not good enough to make your starting lineup. So you can put a little positive spin on cutting your fourth round pick that way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Also, have a note for everybody on social media tonight and everybody watching tonight's NFL game. Now, last week between the Colts and Broncos, that was a little bit unexpected. We really could not have predicted all field goals and just the worst game played in the NFL. So you had every right to go on social media and complain. You don't have the right tonight. Honestly, if you go on social media tonight and complain about how bad this game is, you had to know it was coming. You're wasting your time watching, and it's just yelling at the cloud in the air. Like, don't watch the game. Why are you on social media complaining about Washington and Chicago? You saw the total. You knew exactly what you were headed for. Honestly, you know, it's worth muting or blocking you for that. Don't watch it if you don't like it. You know what's coming. Watch something else. Go out. Enjoy yourself if you do. Or watch Sports Grid. That's a good idea. That'll do it for our show. Thanks again to LTN, our graphics department, our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mitch. See you back here at 3 o'clock Eastern.